1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Japan's Coast Guard searching the ocean for a downed U.S. aircraft. ABC's Anthony Trotter is in Tokyo.
A U.S. military CV-22 Osprey aircraft has crashed into the ocean off southwestern Japan. The incident occurred at approximately 2:47 p.m. local time near the island of Yushima, about a mile from the airport. Eyewitness reports indicate that the aircraft's left engine was on fire as it descended. Anthony Trotter, ABC News, Tokyo.
Mediators are working rapidly to try and extend the Israel-Hamas ceasefire in hopes that more hostages will be freed in return for the release of Palestinians detained in Israel. The truce was supposed to expire today. Rosalind Carter receives final farewells today in the tiny town she called home most of her life. Her private funeral and burial will take place in Plains, Georgia. This is ABC News. Pope Francis, speaking to his weekly public audience at the Vatican today, says he's still battling flu-like conditions and respiratory inflammation. The 86-year-old pontiff says his voice is still hoarse and others would read for him. The Pope canceled his trip to Dubai for the UN climate conference on doctor's orders. After taking a hit during the pandemic, numbers from the CDC show life expectancies in the U.S. are climbing again.
Between 2021 and 2022, U.S. life expectancy increasing by over a year. That comes after declines during the pandemic. Infants born in 2022 will live on average 77.5 years. But that doesn't completely make up for the 2.4-year decline in life expectancy brought on by the pandemic. Women live 5.4 years longer than men, but that gap closing. Americans of Asian descent live the longest, 84 and a half years. Native American populations experiencing the lowest life expectancy, just 67.9 years. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As expected, this year's gun deer harvest in Wisconsin was lower than last year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the number of deer registered was more than 17% lower than last year and about 11% lower than the five-year average. Wardens say it's evidence that earlier bow seasons are getting more popular.
Over half of our total deer hunting population in Wisconsin now also hunts with archery equipment, whether that be bow or crossbow.
Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer specialist. People who heat their homes with natural gas might be looking at lower bills this winter. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says it expects a 21% drop in natural gas home heating costs this coming season. Madison Base Alliant Energy says it's because of large natural gas reserves. Also, winter in Wisconsin is forecasted to be mild. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Badgers losing their top running back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Braylon Allen was recruited out of Fond du Lac in Wisconsin as a linebacker, and after three seasons with the Badgers at running back, he's now declared himself ready for the NFL draft. Allen talked about the past year in Madison.
The amount of stuff that this team has been through, this group, just finding a way to stick together and come together, you know, in the big moments when we needed to. I think that says a lot about us, the culture that we have, and the brotherhood that we share in our locker room.
NFL, the Packers are shorthanded at tight end, with injuries to Josiah DeGora and Luke Musgrave, so they have signed Joel Wilson, a rookie tight end out of Central Michigan who had been with the Bills. NBA, the Bucks went at it back and forth against the Heat in Miami. Milwaukee got the win, 131-124. Giannis with 33, Damian Lillard had 32. Pat Connaughton went down hard in the first half, twisting his ankle. Adrian Griffin.
They're going to evaluate him in the morning. That's all I was told right now.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 40. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 21 tonight, mainly clear. High of 34 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 22.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station, UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
And welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Wednesday, November 29th, 7:06 right now. I'm Pat Breitloh in Chippewa Falls, Greg Bach down in Waukesha. On this 29th day of November, which is Electronic Greetings Day, Lemon Cream Pie Day, National Square Dancing Day, and Greg, perhaps most importantly to the health and welfare of people's digestive systems, National Throw Out Your Leftovers Day. It's time, people.
I'm going to throw those leftovers out right down my gullet. We had so many leftovers.
Make that that omelet with some turkey and cranberry sauce, you know? No. I have seen people putting together little recipes for Thanksgiving pizza, you know, where it's like gravy instead of tomato sauce, and then you put some of the other ingredients on. Mm. It's all about the balance.
Yeah.
I don't know that there'd be leftovers of that.
I don't know. That one.
I don't know. I know.
I would go to someone's house and try it before I do it in my own house.
Yeah. I want to take a sample before I go through the work of making something like that. Yeah. Coming up this hour, just how much money is leaving Wisconsin communities for private voucher schools elsewhere, especially in the districts of legislators who seem to be okay skimming off the top of the public schools in their own hometowns? We will talk to Chris Hambuch-Boyle and State Representative Jody Emerson about that later this hour. We are going to be talking as well about former President Trump again promising to try to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. We'll talk to Madison Mayor Sacha Rhodes Conway about the impact there. And we'll get your phone calls as well if you'd like to join us at 844-967-2789. The email address is radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on Facebook, either the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media page, you can leave a comment there. We may put it up on screen and respond to it as well. All right, let's unpack some of the news here at 7:08. Mark Cuban is leaving Shark Tank. Greg, it is not a show that I ever watched, but I certainly hear a lot of good things about it. You a Shark Tank fan yourself?
No.
No?
No.
There's just no... No entrepreneurial gene in you for like inventing a product?
Well, I own a business, so I'm kind of an entrepreneur in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I meant more the inventor thing like that.
So. But no, because honestly, when I watch those shows, I'm like, you know, people come in with these really great ideas and I want them to flourish. I want them to succeed. And I know that those TV shows are just like, how are we going to doink them out of their money?
Like, yes, that's.
I'm going to give you 30%. I'm going to give you this.
You got the craftsmanship.
Yeah.
But you can't have, we're not going to give you everything we want for it because, you know, and it to me, it kind of, I get that that's how business works. It just, you know, seems a little dirty.
Yeah, I agree. Totally do.
But not only is Mark Cuban leaving Shark Tank, he's selling off his interest in the Dallas Mavericks NBA team. But here's the part that I like most on this, because you hear it about people all the time, usually politicians, but others as well. Says he's leaving the show to spend more time with his kids and his wife, Tiffany Stewart. His kids are age 20, 17, and 13. No, you're not. No, you are not leaving to spend more time with your kids.
What pictures did your wife find on your phone? Can't you learn how to clear your text messages?
And could you get some money on Shark Tank for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's there. We've invented the next reality show. How much would you pay for these photos? And they could even be on a phone, but you don't see them or see all of them. Kind of like Storage Wars, where people bid for these storage lockers without knowing exactly what all is in them. I think we've got the next big hit on our hands here.
That's the only show I've ever watched where I'm like, I would do that. I would buy a storage locker.
Ooh,
even if it was just a dud, like that rush that might like, ooh, what could be in there?
That's got Let's Make a Deal vibes all over it, though, where you're going to get zonked, you know? Hunter Biden is willing to testify before Congress. And now Republicans in Congress say, we don't want it that way. They've wanted Hunter Biden to come in. They want him to testify behind closed doors, be able to twist around whatever it is he says. Hunter Biden says, I'll come in and talk to you as long as it's, you know, public, as long as it's open. Bring in the TV cameras. Let everybody hear. I will answer all your questions. And now Republicans are saying, oh, no, it can only be done behind closed doors. The ranking Democratic member of the committee, Jamie Raskin, put out this statement yesterday. He says, let me get this straight. After wailing and moaning for 10 months about Hunter Biden and alluding to some vast, unproven family conspiracy, after sending Hunter Biden a subpoena to appear and testify, Chairman Comer and the Oversight Republicans now reject his offer to appear before the full committee and the eyes of the world and to answer any questions they pose? What an epic humiliation, he writes, for our colleagues, and what a frank confession that they are simply not interested in the facts and have no confidence in their own case or the ability of their own members to pursue it. After the miserable failure of their impeachment hearing in September, Chairman Comer has now apparently decided to avoid all committee hearings where the public can actually see for itself the logical, rhetorical, and factual contortions that they have tied themselves up in. The evidence has shown time and time again, President Biden has committed no wrongdoing, much less an impeachable offense. Chairman Comer's insistence that Hunter Biden's interview should happen behind closed doors proves it once again. What the Republicans fear most is sunlight and the truth. All that needed behind it was circus music to accompany what a clown show the House Oversight Committee has become. Once one of the last remaining bipartisan institutions in Congress, where it was only reserved, those kinds of investigations were reserved for only the most important cases and not for, the witch hunt type thing, as Donald Trump likes to call it, projecting along the way as he's doing it. Closer to home, a judge has dismissed a lawsuit from a liberal watchdog group about the panel of former Supreme Court justices and whether they violated state open meetings laws. But again, I fear that most Wisconsin media are not going to report the full story and report it accurately. He dismissed the suit, but did not at all dismiss the merits of their contention that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, assembling retired justices David Prosser, Pat Rogensack, and John Wilcox, did in fact constitute a governmental body and one that should have complied with open meetings and open records rules. But on a technicality, Judge Frank Remington said yesterday that the group American Oversight filed their suit too soon. They were supposed to give the Dane County District Attorney 20 days to either launch his own investigation through the DA's office or refuse to launch one. But the group filed a lawsuit within that 20-day window. Remington wrote in his ruling on Tuesday that the panel of former justices does constitute a governmental body, and that the group still must give in to record demands. They still must comply with open records requests, but that the suit itself could not go forward at this time. That's the part that needs to be, shall we say, emphasized, and not make it sound like suddenly Assembly Speaker Voss was exonerated of the claims that he put together a secret government panel, because he did. But the lawsuit was thrown out on a technicality. We may see it come back at some point here soon. Let's check temperatures. 7:15 on this Wednesday morning. Lake Wissota, you're at 22 degrees up here. Hayward, you're at 13. Park Falls, 14. Wausau reporting 12 degrees right now. Green Bay is at 20. La Crosse, 21. Wisconsin Rapids, 15 degrees right now. Oshkosh is at 20. Madison, 23. And Greg's down in Waukesha there where it's 21 degrees. So it's a good 10 to 15 degrees warmer than it was this time yesterday morning. Let's take a look and see what the forecast is looking like with Jennifer Fuchitsky from Weatherology. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like it's starting to warm up a bit today as a warm front begins to push through. Sunshine all around with highs in the mid-30s to around 40 degrees for most. Our warmest spot getting into the mid-40s around Richland Center and for southwestern Wisconsin. Thursday, temperatures look pretty similar, mid to upper 30s from Oshkosh through central and west central Wisconsin, low to mid 40s for southern Wisconsin, sunny skies for most, a little bit of cloud cover around Milwaukee tomorrow. Friday, though, a little bit of a different day. Sunshine from Amory and Baldwin over towards Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids. Cloudy for everyone else. It does look like a slight chance for some rain and snow mixing in the morning hours around Milwaukee and Waukesha, then becoming a slight chance for rain. That'll continue as a slight chance for rain in the evening hours there as well. Slight chance for rain mixing with snow, then becoming snow late Friday night around Madison, and then a slight chance for snow late Friday night around Richland Center. Highs for the day linger in the 30s primarily. Once again, our warmest spot around Richland Center still in the low 40s. To start off the weekend, Saturday, cloudy for all. Slight chance for rain in the afternoon hours around Waukesha and Milwaukee. A slight chance for snow coming in Saturday night for central and west central Wisconsin. Otherwise, highs Saturday, mid to upper 30s primarily. Then by Sunday, a chance for rain around Oshkosh and for southern Wisconsin. A chance for rain and snow mixing around around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids. Otherwise, mid to low 40s from Richland Center and everyone south, mid to upper 30s for everyone else.
Jennifer and her colleagues keep you updated on this Weatherology forecast all throughout the day across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jennifer, we always appreciate the visit. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We mentioned to start off the week that there was going to be a committee hearing. It was held yesterday in the legislature about a bill being introduced that would require school libraries and public libraries to provide an immediate report within 24 hours of all material that kids under 16 were checking out to their parents. The hearing did not go particularly well for the bill's sponsors, as librarians and other officials came in and said in so many words, "We're doing that already. Any parent who wants to be involved can be involved with knowing what their kids are checking out of the library. They can have their kids log in and password and follow it. You forcing us to send emails," and again, kids can check out many, many, many books, and so parents are going to be overwhelmed by these emails and just not even tune in. It just did not go well for the legislators who wanted to turn librarians into spies on their kids. We'll be writing that story up and grabbing some of the video from the hearing, and you'll be able to follow that later on over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. We'll talk more about former President Trump's threat to terminate the Affordable Care Act and talk about voucher school district costs coming up in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in just a little over 60 seconds.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. K.
Again, we are marking on this day in 2001, the passing of George Harrison from the Beatles with some of his music throughout the day. More of that coming up. But first, we want to visit with Madison Mayor Satya Roach Conway. We have spoken with her before about various issues that could be affected in 2024, depending on how elections go in the state. And it occurred to us that a whole lot of people in Wisconsin would be impacted by something former President Donald Trump put online on his tiny social media network on Sunday that called out Republicans who did not, in his word, terminate the Affordable Care Act, and said that he would never stop trying to do so if he were to get reelected. Mayor Satya Roach Conway of Madison, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, nice to have you here because, again, with so many constituents in your city and so many employees and Wisconsin being the pivotal state that it is, you know, words like that have to be taken seriously, and I wanted to know your own impression of that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think just in general, when the former president says something, we ought to take him quite seriously, particularly as he increasingly slides towards fascism. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There is, you know, if by some chance the Affordable Care Act were to be stripped away from Americans, here in Wisconsin, that would mean that over 200,000 Wisconsinites would have their health care coverage put at risk, and almost 900,000 people in Wisconsin who have pre-existing conditions would lose their protection for that pre-existing condition and the requirement that they be offered some form of health insurance. And that's a lot of people who could be quite sick and really need that health care coverage. And it's, you know, 1.5 million Wisconsin residents that have Medicaid, including, you know, hundreds of thousands of children, could lose critical services or could lose their health care coverage altogether. I mean, this is really, really serious stuff for Wisconsin.
I think what makes it especially noteworthy is that once again, the former president said that he would explore all alternatives to the Affordable Care Act, meaning he doesn't have one right now and never has. He has promised this big, beautiful plan to provide health care to every American, and yet never put forward anything that covered as many people and covered them as affordably as the ACA did. You know, Mayor, where do you take the former president at his word to find alternatives to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I think we've been down this road before, right? Like, I mean, he keeps saying he's going to do something big and wonderful, and it never materializes. And certainly, I think the American people would want to see what that thing is before they let go of the Affordable Care Act, which, frankly, is working very well for people. You know, more than 40 million Americans rely on the Affordable Care Act. And you know, if you're threatening to raise premiums and health care costs, if you're threatening health care for as many as 135 million Americans with pre-existing health conditions, if you're threatening to slash protections against catastrophic medical bills and to balloon wait lists for quality care for seniors and people with disabilities, then you better have a damn good answer to how you're going to deal with all of those issues. And the former president just doesn't. I mean, it's very simple here, right? Like, this is a choice between someone who doesn't care about health care and actually wants to strip not just your health care away from you, but also your bodily autonomy, and a person, President Biden, who is working to increase access to health care, to reduce health care costs, and to make quality health care more accessible. I mean, to me, that's a pretty clear choice. I like the guy who wants me to have health care.
Seems to make sense. And when you talk about having a concrete plan, again, there doesn't appear to be one from Trump or his allies, whereas recently Democratic legislators again introduced their not alternative to the Affordable Care Act, but ways to improve upon it. And that would include finally accepting the federal Medicaid expansion funds to allow Badger Care to cover more people more affordably. So one of the bills would go even further and attach a public option so that more people could buy into Badger Care coverage that would be, you know, more stable and more affordable. Mayor, that kind of a concrete plan sounds like something people can get behind.
I would think so. And gosh, I really hope, that here in the Capitol, folks would put aside partisanship and actually think about what's good for the people of Wisconsin, because it's just ludicrous that we're leaving federal money on the table. I mean, there's no reason for it. That we could be helping so many more people here in Wisconsin access care and, frankly, and be healthy. I mean, when you think about it, right, the reality is we all are going to need health care at some point in our lives for some reason. And that means that we all need access to healthcare coverage. We need good insurance plans. We need that to be affordable for us. And, you know, you've got a party, Democrats, who are trying and have been trying for decades to make that available to people all across America. And right here in Wisconsin, as you point out, to take the expansion and to expand Badger Care, which helps hundreds of thousands of people in our state, and helps them get preventative care and helps them stay healthy and helps our communities stay healthy. I mean, if there's one thing that we learned out of the pandemic is that we actually need each other to take care of ourselves and each other so we can all stay healthy in our communities, and to, you know, to not be able to access health care is just a really, really difficult thing for families. And so we ought to be doing everything we can to make it easier for folks.
And it's not just about families. As you know, in Madison, as the population continues to grow and more people are working for small businesses, what small businesses get by leveling that playing field and making it less expensive for them to have to cover workers can only be good for the workforce there.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, yesterday I was had the pleasure of speaking on a panel of seven mayors at the Wisconsin Women Business Initiative annual luncheon. And, you know, there's maybe 1,000 small business owners in the room. And those folks are, you know, literally the lifeblood of our economy in our cities. And they need support. They need access to healthcare, and they need access to, you know, affordable retail space. They need access to childcare for their workers. And you know, we absolutely ought to be doing everything we can on the government side to support our small businesses, including making it easier for them, the proprietors and their employees, to access healthcare affordably and
exactly.
to access prescription drugs. I mean, one of the things that the president did was cap the price of insulin at $35.
Right. Something Republicans are still fighting. I'm up against a break here, Mayor, but thank you so much for helping us understand further what the former president is threatening. Mayor Saatchi Rhodes Conway, have a great day. Thank you again.
Thanks. You too.
Back with Representative Jody Emerson and Chris Hambuck Boyle next. You're up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Japan's Coast Guard searching the ocean for a downed U.S. aircraft. ABC's Anthony Trotter is in Tokyo.
A U.S. military CV-22 Osprey aircraft has crashed into the ocean off southwestern Japan. The incident occurred at approximately 2:47 p.m. local time near the island of Yushima, about a mile from the airport. Eyewitness reports indicate that the aircraft's left engine was on fire as it descended. Anthony Trotter, ABC News, Tokyo.
Mediators are working rapidly to try and extend the Israel-Hamas ceasefire in hopes that more hostages will be freed in return for the release of Palestinians detained in Israel. The truce was supposed to expire today. Rosalind Carter receives final farewells today in the tiny town she called home most of her life. Her private funeral and burial will take place in Plains, Georgia. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill that would automatically update parents on what their child has checked out from the library got a public hearing today. Under the Republican-authored bill, all books checked out in either a public library or school library would be sent to parents. Emily Dittmar is with the Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association and a school librarian in Muskego.
With school libraries so understaffed, dedicating so much time to administrative tasks takes the certified librarians away from student interactions.
Dittmar adds that students' checkout history is already available to parents by request. People in Wisconsin feeling generous this time of year are urged to be careful when donating to charity. It's Charity Fraud Awareness Week. Consumer protection officials say you should ask solicitors for their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You should also ask how much of your donation will be used to actually help people. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 40. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 21 tonight, mainly clear. High of 34 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 21.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr. Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. UK.
Welcome to Homeroom. We're going to spend a little time every Wednesday during the 7 o'clock hour to talk about education in Wisconsin, things that parents would want to know, news about educators, education trends, and certainly things happening in your school boards and at your state capitol that might affect the education of our kids. Quite frequently joined with someone from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We've heard from Heather Dubois-Bornon for the past couple of weeks. Chris Hambuck-Boyle joins us this week as we talk about the district-by-district cost of private school vouchers. Chris, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Morning, Pat. Thanks for the music.
And on the, you bet, and on the phone with us as well, State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire. Representative Emerson, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good to see you, Chris.
Yeah, it'd be good to see you too, but Jody's camera shy in the morning, so those of you watching on social media will understand why we tease her so often about not being an early bird, but agreeing to come on the radio anyway. So,
but I'm here, Pat. Come on.
And that's the part we like best because of what you bring to this discussion and to other education matters. And so before Jody, I even get to the voucher school numbers in districts, I wanted to, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, talk about this bill that would turn libraries into spies and instantly report to parents everything their kid 16 and under is checking out. And I've already gone on at length about, you know, why that's not a wise idea and why such systems already exist. Librarians talked about it yesterday in the committee meeting, saying we already have something like this. Parents can be involved if they want to. But you and some of your colleagues went a step further with a bill to ban book bans. Why is that? Tell us more about it.
Well, I mean, I think the idea of banning books is so ridiculous. I mean, we're asking government to do what parents should be doing. And that's exactly the opposite of what conservatives usually want. Conservatives usually want government out of their lives. And so our bill was modeled after a bill that Illinois passed, where it takes away money, any state money, for whatever entity, whether it's a school, a public library, whatever entity might be choosing to ban books. Because if I don't want my kid to read something, that's my right as a parent. But because of that doesn't mean that no kid gets to read it. I don't get to make that decision for every single parent, child, adult, in that city, in that school, whatever. And so this is, you know, putting some, we can't stop people from banning books, but we can stop our state money from going to those entities that aren't going to be fully providing the services that libraries are supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it is still a wonder after 12 years in power that that folks believed a group that said we're for limited government and have turned out to be, you know, nothing but big government and controlling local government and controlling people's bodies and controlling parenthood decisions as well. So again, while the bill is not likely to be adopted by your Republican majority colleagues, at least it's out there so people know where you stand. Chris, on the topic of school education overall, we have spoken frequently about how Wisconsin taxpayers, still many of them don't know, they're paying for two parallel school systems in this state now because the voucher school program has grown to be so much more than a tiny experimental program in Milwaukee. It's now a statewide thing. And as a result, you know, money that should be going to our local public schools goes to voucher schools. And that was really increased earlier this year by the legislature. Now, it was done as part of a deal with Governor Evers to get a lot more money to public schools as well. But, you know, Chris, you've been looking legislative district by legislative district because I guess the way that you've put it, some of these legislators, if they knew what they were voting for to send so much money out of their own hometowns, maybe they wouldn't have been as eager to support this.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. I really feel that the numbers and the impacts of what legislators vote on are not necessarily shared with them prior to their vote. I think it's talked about in generalities, and we can do this and we can do that, but they don't know exactly the impact that it would have on their individual districts. So I tend to try to stay in that messy middle and be a resource for all legislators in what that impact would be. And I compile those numbers, and as part of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, we provide that information.
Do you want to pick one in particular? You could either pick Representative Emerson, or you could pick a Republican lawmaker who supported voucher schools, and then walk us through how you know what those numbers are and how we calculate them.
Sure. Well, let's pick Jody, Assembly District 91. Her Assembly District, because of the gerrymander, only is impacted by one public school district, and that's Eau Claire. Eau Claire's output for the voucher program last year, prior to the increase in the budget for this year, was about $1.4 million. And in one short year, given what happened in this last budget, their voucher assessment went up $500,000. So they're up to $2 million in one year. That's a big hit.
And so that's just about $514,000 that would have gone into the Eau Claire Area School District that now goes into a pool of money that pays for private school vouchers. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Representative Emerson, this was in your district. You're now hearing that $500,000 is not going to the Eau Claire Public Schools, but going elsewhere. From one legislator's standpoint, what do you make of a number like that?
Yeah, it's so infuriating. And I've known about these numbers for a while. It helps that Chris is one of my constituents and, informs me of this stuff. But it is so frustrating. Our schools we're past the point where they can cut back on what kind of paper they can use and how many post-its they're using. When we're talking, this much money a year, we are talking shutting down classrooms, making classes big, which is untenable for our teachers and our learners as well. And, it is a situation where Republicans are just trying to starve our public system and then say, well, look, it doesn't work. We need to privatize the whole thing. And they're pretty close to succeeding right now because they've been starving our public schools for a long time. And I just want to say, I have no problem with private schools. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is public dollars going into private schools and not being accountable to the public standards. So it's so frustrating to see such a hit in one district on public education.
And that's just one district. Let's take a state Senate district a little bit bigger, and let's take a Republican like State Senator John Jagler in the 13th Senate district. Now, when we looked at Jody's district, it was in her assembly district is one school district. But in Senator Jagler's district, there are 28 different school districts that are impacted by this, Chris, right?
Yes.
How big a hit are schools taking in one particular Senate district?
In Jagler's district, if you take the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program, which is about $14.3 million, and the Special Needs Scholarship Program, which is another voucher program, which is about $2.8 million, and he is hit also by the Independent Charter School, which is about $3 million. His hit to his district is $20 million. $225,987.70 to be exact.
And then she's got the
approximately.
These are the exact numbers, and she lays them out district by district. So whether you're talking, Beaver Dam, Cambridge, DeForest, Horicon, I'm not going to rattle them all off, but a Conemaugh area, Sun Prairie, Waterloo, Waupun, and more, all of those districts combined. That's over $20 million not going to the public schools in his district, but going instead to voucher schools. And I guess, Chris, and then I'll ask Jody the same question. Okay, so now they know the numbers. And I think in theory, what we're thinking is if some of these Republican legislators knew how big this number was, maybe they'd think twice about their support for this. I don't know that that necessarily would happen, but it certainly seems right that they now are educated on what the exact number is in their district, right?
Well, I do try to make the connection with the legislators. I've been down in Madison many times knocking on doors with the information. And it really depends on if they're amenable to having that conversation. I really like them to have their numbers ahead of time, you know, before I send them out to everybody, but that doesn't always work either. So it really is let I want everybody to know I'm here to help them. I don't care what side of the aisle they're from. I can get their numbers and give them their information so they can have a thoughtful, logistically thoughtful time in their brain about whether this seems right or not.
Do you know what this reminds me of, Jody, is when you're talking to a legislative counsel in a committee hearing, and these are the the attorneys and other wonderful people who are staffing these committees and giving these legislators the raw information. And no matter how we phrase the question, whether we phrase that question down the middle or we phrase it somewhat outrageously, they are just going to say, you know, Senator, Representative, here are the numbers. And that's what Chris is doing here as well, is she's just saying, here are the numbers. And, you know, Representative Emerson, if you thought more of your Republican colleagues had known these numbers earlier on, do you think there might be a shift in attitudes?
You know, one would hope that an elected representative or an elected senator would say, gosh, a $2 million hit to my district or a $20 million hit to the public schools in my district is just too much. Maybe it's the end of getting towards the end of a long year in the legislature, but, you know, I don't know. I don't have faith in some of these folks that they really want to see public education succeed. And that just breaks my heart, because public education not only is a constitutional right and responsibility for all people in Wisconsin, but it's also the magic bullet. I mean, we should not have to worry about having a lot of money in order to send people to private schools or something like that. And we need to be funding our public systems so that it succeeds, not giving one person, you know, $8,000 to do something, because it's the collective money that builds the good school system. And when we take money away like this, we cannot have strong systems when we're taking this big a financial hit. It's frustrating. And I'm so grateful for WPEN for making this information known to people. And I guess I would ask, like, why weren't these representatives and senators knowing this information before they voted anyways?
Yeah. And at least they know now. And, you know, maybe in a future budget cycle, we'll see a change. I'm looking at my former Senate district, the 23rd, now represented by Republican Jesse James. There are 35 school districts impacted, you know, including Chippewa Falls and Colby and Colfax and Marshfield, to the tune of $10 million. In funds no longer going to the public schools there. Chris, you also ran numbers for the Appleton, Green Bay area that, again, come out to just millions and millions of dollars. That now, again, you're sharing this with legislators. It's not like we're going to get, you know, any change anytime soon, but are you at least hoping for some reaction?
Yes, I'm hoping to have some people reach in to the network and get their numbers and have a deep conversation about what this looks like. I think when a legislator, like Senate District 23, that district covers 35 districts are impacted or touched, but 32 are impacted. If I had 91% of my districts impacted by this, I would want to know what the numbers are.
Exactly. We greatly appreciate you sharing those numbers. Chris Hambuck-Boyle from the Wisconsin Public Education Network and State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire. Thank you both so much. Jody, you're the best. Thank you so much for getting up
good
early
to
again.
Start my morning with you both. I'm going to go take a nap now.
Yeah, as well you should. All right. Todd Alba's coming up next. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853, the Milwaukee Turners at Turner Hall offer gymnastics, rock climbing, yoga, meaningful forums, training, and countless ways to have fun and matter to Milwaukee. Whether you hang upside down or hang out, they've got you covered. Membership is only $35 a year. Be a part of Milwaukee's past, present, and future. Visit them at MilwaukeeTurners.org. That's MilwaukeeTurners.org. Or find them on Facebook or Instagram.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I can never hear this anymore, George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps, without thinking of Prince playing that in tribute at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction when George Harrison was inducted posthumously. And at the end of it, Prince throws up his guitar after this epic solo, and the guitar never comes down. It's just, if you haven't seen it, I've said it before, go to YouTube and look for this. It's amazing. Todd Alba's here. How are you, sir?
I am well. How about you guys?
Very good. Very good. You're looking good. You're sounding good. You didn't catch the latest wave of COVID or anything like that?
Knock on wood, my hollow head. Not yet. I did pick up somewhere. I'm not exactly sure. Kind of a sinus type of cold deal, but not COVID. So I just want to make sure I heard
a little, you know, something in there. And I saw the numbers yesterday that in Milwaukee, COVID cases are up like 50%. Hospitalizations are up again. Not as deadly, but you're still getting sick. Some people still need to be hospitalized because the vaccination numbers are just downright depressing at times. This is just a way of saying, well, go get your flu shot, go get your COVID shot.
And I've been waiting for the new vaccine, for the new strain to come out, and I need to get my booster and I need to get my flu shot. So that is on the list of things to do this week because, and I'm not sure whether you guys are, for our audience, the big Civic Media holiday party is coming up here the 16th of December. Yeah. And last year, it was a very nice event.
It was
very
wonderful.
Nice event that they put on for us. But we got an extra gift in our holiday stocking called COVID. At least Toddy did. And it was not pleasant. So I'm thinking we should all bring a clean COVID test in the last 48 hours in order, and then have a CNA with a thermometer at the door to just check on things so we don't come home with COVID this year.
That could be. Although I'm going to miss it this year. I've already got plans for that weekend out of town, and I am very, very sad to miss it because last year it was great to see everybody. Because again, you're in a workplace where you're scattered, you know, to the wind. You know, Greg and I have never met in person yet. In fact, I noticed
you don't even know if I exist.
his on-screen title now says I pay money for secret email accounts. So I don't get to do that, but. Hopefully sometime soon. And I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful time. And yes, everybody should get their booster between now and then.
100%.
Well, it's actually, it's not the COVID booster. It's the new COVID vaccine. That's going to be the one like the flu shot where you just get it yearly now.
Yes.
I got that.
That's true.
Yeah. We did get a text from the 262 listening to WAUK celebrating, I think, yesterday's 10th anniversary of Frozen coming out. They said, let it go. What else to say? Oh, they said sick.
Were talking COVID.
Sorry, they're saying COVID, sick of COVID. Let it go. Hey,
yeah.
Well, we're here to help.
They also say they switched stations that to somebody that doesn't say gross things. I don't know. I think gross is kind of our jam over here.
What did we say that was gross?
Well, it's like former owner of WRCO, Peter Thans. We used to call him Pete the Greek because he was a little Greek dude about that tall. And he had a woman call the station. This is probably back in the 70s or 80s. It was had a ridiculous complaint. And he used to smoke. And he took a puff of his cigarette. And he said, ma'am, a radio has two dials. You're welcome to use either one. And he hung up.
Wow. I had forgotten how in our early days, you were still smoking, you know, in the studio.
Yeah. I worked with people who did.
I worked at a station that was WEAQ AM in Eau Claire back in the day, and they had a wonderful host, Peter Murphy, who hosted Party Line, and it was a great call-in show with guests and everything, but he wasn't in the main booth. In the main booth, there was no smoking. He was in this little side booth that almost looked like a little restaurant booth, you know, with guests that would come in. But, man, you'd go in there, and I don't know that it was Peter necessarily, but, I mean, it was just like walking into an ashtray sometimes, you know, and everything was kind of stained yellow and all of that. And I really don't miss that. I mean, there were a lot of contentious things in the legislature during my time there. One of the most contentious was the smoking ban that came up during that time. Every time that people, now I overhear them when they come out of a bar or whatever, going, oh, I don't have to hang my clothes outside anymore when I come out of a bar. And I always want to go, you're welcome. You know, that was a lot to go through to get that thing passed.
I'm just trying to still figure out what we were talking about that was so gross, and the way that text just came online generally switched to
it was somebody had he sounds a little nasally, sniffly. I asked him if he had COVID. It's like Todd's blowing his nose over here.
Do you know why we ask these hard questions, these tough questions?
Because
we care about Todd Alba. Without Todd Alba, we are rudderless. We are without leadership. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We are without a shining bright beacon to bring us into the shoreline.
Here's what I do for the network. I set the bar low enough that everybody else's show looks great.
Yeah.
That so, too.
There you go.
I forgot to mention that.
Hey, we all have our individual ways of serving. Now, will you have Trygve Olsen from the Lincoln Project?
Yes, it is Wednesday. It's crossover Wednesday. We have Pat Kreitler and Trygve Olsen on in hour one.
So I would imagine, I'm just asking you to guess ahead of time. It appears the Koch brothers, or the surviving Koch brother, they basically have decided the Republican primary because everybody else has been running to be the alternative to Trump, but this group has decided it's Nikki Haley. And so they're going to put everything behind her. And you can either discuss whether that's going to be successful or just the world we live in, that basically a group has anointed who the second leading Republican candidate is going to be.
Remember when they anointed Scott Walker? Good job.
That's right. Yeah.
As a friend of mine in politics is fond of saying, not a surprise, not unexpected. You know, I mean, Nikki Haley is probably the most sane person in terms of appearance, but still has the conservative values and will do what she's told by the big right-wing money crowd. So it's not a surprise that Koch folks would do that. I think, and we had a story, I think you guys probably covered it as well, that Republican, to the party, to the RNC, Republican National Committee, they have like 9 million cash on hand. It is like, you know, Democrats have double that. Money is not flowing into the Republican Party, largely because of Trump. I don't think that that means that Nikki Haley is going to be the nominee. I still believe it will be Trump, but you're right. I think that the certain money crowd, the Koch brothers types, have decided we're really going to go all in on Nikki and hope that Trump gets convicted in one of these state cases and goes behind bars where he cannot pardon himself. But
could you just imagine that he won't be convicted by then, but by the time of the Republican convention in Milwaukee, maybe some judge got sick of his violating the gag order and he's actually in a jail cell during the convention and trying to broadcast from there. That would, again, we joke about it. It's possible. It's entirely possible.
100%.
Todd Alba will be back here at the noon hour and all through 2 o'clock. Todd, thank you so much and feel better soon.
Always a pleasure, you guys. Take care. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Greg. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. Todd Alba, noon to two. Chad Holmes, Stephanie Miller, James, or Earl Ingram next on your station on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby.
You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.